welcome back to This Week. Because you left it and now you're back.
Now you're back again. I think our intros are getting slowly worse and worse.
Yeah. The more we do. But you guys get it. This is the Double Cleanse podcast. You know, you're here.
You're here, you know.
You know how it works. Yeah. My name is Robert. Hi.
Hi, and my name is James. Hi.
Hi, James. Nice to meet you.
And also so and this... you.
Oh, thank you. And yeah. And this is our podcast. This is our podcast all about skincare, makeup, beauty, fitness.
Fitness and nutrition.
No, it's really not. Just the regs, just makeup, beauty, skincare.
Bit influencer insider, at news and activity.
News and activities.
We don't know what our podcast is about.
No, we don't. We clearly have no idea. But you know what? Subscribe anyway and rate and review and do whatever you can do on whatever platform you're listening on.
Yeah, try and figure out what's going on with us.
Yeah. Yeah, you decide. I don't even know what we're talking about now. James, how was your week been, huh?
You know what? What day is it? It's only Tuesday. Mm. So since we last recorded, yeah, fine. Nothing new to report, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the week.
And that's it. Do you know what? I have been... I thought I was being really good at not, lockdown shopping, but I went crazy this last week. And not on, expensive stuff either. Well, I bought all that Selena merchandise, and then I bought all these, prints to put around my room, and I just keep buying shit off Amazon that I don't need. Like, a load of crap that, I don't know, what did I buy the other day? A letter Amazon... writing kit.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
For what? Did you... When was the last time you wrote a letter?
I haven't written a letter in my life, other than when we used to write to companies fake complaints so we could get free stuff from them.
Yeah, they were best times. But that's when we were children, guys. Social media wasn't around. Scams weren't invented yet.
Not considered fraud.
Amazon's difficult because you go on there and you're like, okay, I need to order something dumb, some rubber sleeves. I must get my rubber sleeves. And then you fall into this hole of things like, oh, I could do with a bookshelf, actually. Or, you know, I could use something that you actually don't need. And then it keeps suggesting stuff. And you're like, maybe I do need this.
Yeah. I need 1,000 tea lights. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a difficult place, Amazon. But, you know, good for them. They know how to do that.
How about yours? How's your week going?
Oh, really, really boring.
Oh, can I just say something? Sorry.
Yeah.
We don't live together, for those people listening.
Oh, yes.
We record this over FaceTime, and a lot of people think, whenever I see comments, they think we live together. So when we're actually catching up right now, we don't actually
live together and
know what we've done.
Yeah. Don't know what's happened this week. I'm not just talking to James.
Other than you're trying to move right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to move. Not the right climate, James.
But when a contract's up, a contract's up, huh?
A contract's up, and when you don't want to live somewhere anymore, you just don't want to live there anymore. You know
you've been
through
a lot where you are now.
I have been through a lot where I live now. I've never been involved in so many police reports in my life.
Yeah. It's not a rough area, though. That's the thing,
it's not
a
rough area. And the house, the apartments, sorry, are really, really nice.
New
We're
builds.
Really well looked after by the people that work here. It's new. Neighbours are, fine, the usual, oh, there's a baby crying, there's a dog barking, but, you know, I'd rather listen to a dog bark. Just things like that, but it's just, little things, the smell of weed constantly, and...
Oh, that's the thing when you have balconies so close to each other. I don't mind people smoking weed,
do that, that's fine.
Do whatever, but it just smells. I wish they can, scent it with something.
I can't stand the smell. Yeah, bubblegum
or even
weed.
Peach.
Peach. Yeah, for example. Do what you need to do, but the smell just makes me... It reminds me of bleach and grass, and it makes me feel like really sick to a point where I'm not one of those people where I'll be like coughing and waving my hand in front of my face, but it's really annoying.
Yeah,
but that's life, James. Sometimes you just have to sniff other people's weed,
as the saying goes.
As the saying goes,
as a mum always taught us.
Yeah. Oh, James.
Oh, Robert.
What you been, anything you been loving?
Yeah, a few things, in the world of skincare? You know. No, actually, do you know what I bought?
I
thought you frozen it.
No, sorry. I was just reading an email about the house. Go on.
You were incredibly still and incredibly quiet then. I thought you froze.
It's because I'm extremely serene when I need to be.
Yeah, yeah. I bought a Dyson hairdryer.
Shut up, me too.
Did you?
Yeah.
When?
Wait, let me grab it so we can show each other. Even though I'm holding one now.
Oh my god, you got an all black one?
Oh, I see that mine's the newer version.
Well, mine was just a gift edition. It came with a stand and stuff. They're exactly the same, yours just black.
Mine's to be newer.
Did you get the stand with all the...
No, I didn't. I was looking for the stand, but apparently it's so sought after. Oh, I just really wobbled my microphone. Apparently it's so sought after that people buy it and charge like hundreds for it on eBay. So I'll make my own out card.
Yeah.
An old shoebox.
It'll get nice and hot when you put the hairdryer back on it.
Yeah.
But I actually really like it. I remember when the Dyson hairdryer came out, I was like, absolutely the fuck not. I was like, I don't want a vacuum cleaner in my room cleaning my hair. I don't understand it. And then you got that Dyson fan, do you remember?
I did, yeah.
And I was like, I kind of see how that works now.
Yeah.
And then I saw a few people online who I trust actually buy it. And I was like, oh shit, maybe it is good.
It is good. I mean, it dries your hair, which is, good. Because that's what you
I would hope but, so, yeah.
But it does add some kind of smoothness and thickness to the hair. Which is great. I'm no hair person or science man.
I can tell by your DIY haircut. and the lack of lab coat you're wearing.
Your lack of lab coat makes you very, very ignorant.
Very unscience.
But it is good. It is good. I really like it. Is it worth that much money? Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think you should go out and rush and buy a Dyson hairdryer just because it's good. You can just go into like Sally's and get a salon quality hairdryer and it's just as good.
Yeah. Exactly. People just like it because it's got a hole in it, don't they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, because it's got a hole in it, that's why people like it. But as far as skincare goes, I don't know much to report, really. How about you? Anything you've been loving in makeup?
Yeah, so it's kind of makeup related, but it's more like a cleaning kind of thing. So I kept seeing this advert for this brush cleaner from a brand called IsoClean, I-S-O Clean, brush cleaner. Right. And everyone was like, oh my god, it's amazing. I was like, god, have people not used brush cleaner before? Like,
right.
What's the big deal? It's one of those brush cleaners where you clean it, you know, and it cleans your brush. Great, fantastic. Yeah. So I bought one anyway, like recently. I've been seeing adverts for it for ages and ages and ages. But usually I'll use like the NYX brush cleaner or the MAC brush cleaner or something like that, which is great. And I sit there and I scrub quite a bit. Yeah. This brush cleaner is actually incredible.
Why?
And what makes there's something about it where it deep cleans a brush that usually you would have to take a long time to clean. Like brushes that are a little bit shorter and denser.
More compact.
More compact, especially if they have like white hairs. They can stain really easily and you get like blotches of stain if you don't clean it properly and you take a little bit more time to clean it. But this, it almost like... melts away. It's really difficult to describe because every brush cleaner does it, but this does it in a way that's really quick. Oh, I'm choking because I'm so happy. It does it really it does it really, really quickly, and I don't know, it just saved a lot of time. When I was cleaning my brushes, it saves a lot of time. I was doing a quick clean because I filmed yesterday, and then, did I film yesterday? What day was it yesterday? Yeah, Monday. I filmed yesterday because I ruined my whole week, so I had to film yesterday. And then I we needed to use the brushes again this morning, so I did a quick brush clean. Usually, you know, they'll be quick and I'll be like, okay, they're not fully dry, but I literally feel like I've shampooed them and they feel amazing and they look amazing. If you know brush cleaning, if you know the struggle of brush cleaning, this is like the quickest brush clean I think I've ever done, ever.
Well, I guess it's just like when you get a good, like, washing up liquid or dish soap. Like, you know, when you buy a cheap one, it's like this, yeah. You can tell yeah. it's cheap. You don't yeah. know why, but it's yeah. not cleaning as well. It takes a bit more effort. When you get Fairy Up liquid.
Fairy Up liquid, yeah.
Fairy Up
yeah.
liquid. And it just...
No, it was fantastic.
You know what? I'm really glad you found something that works for your brushes.
You know what it felt like, right? It yeah. felt like when you clean your brushes normally, it feels like when you get, like, a micellar water and you try and rub off, like, really dark eye makeup and you still have to keep rubbing. It felt like this was, like, the oil cleanse of a brush cleaner.
Oh.
But you know what I mean? Like, everything just slipped
beautiful.
Off.
Yeah.
yeah, but there was no oil kind of texture. It was lovely. ISO yeah. clean. 10%. No, I'm joking.
Never start that again.
There's no
never dropping discount codes on here again. Oh, let me put some lip soothe on. Oh, do you know what I'm really liking at the moment, actually, just circling back to me, is Milk Makeup.
Yeah, Milk is a really great brand. I yeah. really like Milk. I think they've really got their kind of aesthetic.
Aesthetic, yeah. And I'm yeah. obviously not using the makeup, but I'm using some of the skincare. And I just feel like...
Their makeup's good.
Yeah. That's what I have to say on that, though, for now. I'm not tested yeah. enough.
Yeah. Good for them.
Good for them.
Chapter two.
Chapter yeah. two. Chapter two of Nutrition Health Cast. Robert.
Yeah.
You know, like, one comment I always get, and you probably get as well on my yeah. YouTube's videos,
yeah.
is when I talk about a product that I really like, people are quite often like, no, thank you, no chemicals for me.
Mm.
Or, like, all those toxins and, like, Vaseline's poisonous and all this kind of stuff.
All those parabens, yeah.
All those parabens. And I think, why are they, you know...
Yeah, you know why? I think people are scared of things. Well, chemicals is a very broad word in general. However, yeah. in our mind, a chemical is something harmful to the skin. Mm. You know, it's great to clean surfaces, but yeah. it can be really harmful
chemicals.
To skin. Mm. Yeah, whereas people don't realize what a chemical is and what chemicals are. I mean, I'm no chemical expert, as we found out in chapter one.
Yeah, you're nowhere
near
science.
I'm no scientist. Yeah. But listen, everything's a chemical. Everything's made out of chemical compounds.
Mm.
I believe it's called. But I think is, I think there's a lot of...
You sounded very science then.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so science. I think there's been a lot of fear-mongering. Like, imagine, like, especially with brands, skincare brands, especially, I just said that the same way, but two different ways.
Yeah, I also thought you were going to say bread. I thought you were going to bring bread into this. I'm not sure
Two different kinds of bread.
Different breads.
Different brands try and have this selling point of, oh, we're chemical-free, we're all natural. And a lot of people see that as something better, even with makeup. How can I get clean makeup? How can I get clean skincare?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you guys haven't guessed what we're talking about today... we're
bread.
Bread. The science, the chemical compounds of bread.
Of bread.
yeah, we're talking about... claims that companies make within their makeup and their skincare, how it's beneficial to the skin. Do you need to be worried about these things? Do you not need to be worried about these things? You know, and that's kind of what we want to discuss. So we asked you guys the other day, I need to remind myself because even though I looked just a second ago.
Yeah, it's a tradition that Robert attempts to read the question that we asked on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Give it a really good go.
I'll give it a go, see what happens. Here is it. Okay. It says, what marketing claims do you look out for when buying products? Oh, I did that really well.
Really well
And
done.
We had so many answers, so thank you for your replies to that. If you guys...
Oh, can I just...
Yeah.
Sure. I just want... Can we ask everyone, when we put out these questions, do you want us to give you a shout out and use your names? Because we haven't been doing it for like privacy reasons, but we do kind of want to make you feel a bit more involved, and we want you to be more involved rather than us just going, someone said this. So let us know. Maybe we should do a poll actually on our Instagram and just ask if people mind.
Yeah, or we can ask you guys to put like a why before if you want your name, for yes, or an N before if you want for no. Because we don't want to be like, oh, Linda from here, and you know, she's witness protection.
We
don't
she has to move house now. Yeah,
she has to move house because we said her name. But yeah, do let us know. But on our Instagram, it's at the Double Cleanse Podcast. We ask you guys a question every week so we can kind of discuss in our weekly podcast week. So head over there and follow us. We just reached 10,000, so thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so we went through all your answers and we've kind of come up with a list of, to be fair, there were like 5 answers in general. You know, loads of people answered, but it was like the 5 same things.
Same things, yeah.
So we're going to run through those today and discuss them with you. And also we'd love for you guys to discuss it underneath our Instagram posts as well. Yeah. Just little things that you might, you know, might pop into your mind.
Yeah. Well, let's then start, I mean, carrying on from where we were just talking about the whole fear-mongering factor of it, because that's what it has become. And even though chemicals, we all know everything's a chemical, chemical-free is something that, again, was latched upon to fear-monger to make people buy stuff.
Let's just say something.
Yeah.
Nothing can be chemical-free.
No, that's impossible.
Water is a chemical.
Yeah.
Know, if everything is a chemical. It can't be chemical-free. It will physically not exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So this is the issue as well, is that a lot of these people think that these brands that are launching these chemical-free, preservative-free, all-natural, these kind of products have like the buyer's best best interest at heart, when it's not. It's all, in my opinion, fear-mongering and selling tactics in order it's a marketing gimmick to make you think that their product is in some way superior to other products. So here's the thing, nothing can be chemical-free, as you said. Mm-hmm. But then also, we need to get over this idea that synthetic man-made ingredients are any worse than natural. But then also, that doesn't necessarily mean that natural ingredients are worse than synthetic, right?
No, of course, yeah.
But for me, my favourite products are the ones that kind of merge that together. Like the science of nature and the science of science, which you would know about being a science yourself.
PhD bread.
PhD bread. BA honours degree bread. I think that's like the one thing that bothers me the most, is when people prefer natural. It doesn't bother me, but it's something I don't understand, why people do prefer natural products. And I always say to myself, like, I think unless you are a raw vegan who lives in a straw hut, not that far, but if you're like, unless you're like a raw vegan and you don't take any medicine, you know, you're all natural, then it makes sense. But if you're having microwave meals, or you're taking a headache tablet every so often, or you have a diet coke,
you're wearing leather shoes
why I don't understand why you then just want to go with all natural skincare. It doesn't make sense to me. And there's also this idea going on from that as well, that 60% of everything you put on your skin absorbs into your skin. Not true, because we're not sponges. Do you know what I mean? Right. So if that was going to happen, you go in the shower and all that water would be going in you.
Yeah, you know exactly. So absorbing,
Our skin is a literal barrier. That's why it's there. It's a barrier for our body to keep stuff out, keep stuff in.
There's a literal barrier on your skin called the lipid barrier.
Skin barrier. So the idea as well that all these things are sinking into our skin and into our bloodstream, whilst there is some truth with certain things, 60% of that isn't coming through. But then why do you care about that if you're taking ibuprofen? It always baffles me that like something that has been man-made in order to help you with pains and headaches and stuff like that, why is that better to ingest than something that's been man-made to improve your skin and then put on your skin?
Something that's man-made in a beauty product is a man-made version of something we can make in our skin. Hyaluronic acid, for example. Mm-hmm. You can get man-made hyaluronic acid. You can get it in, it's infused in concealers, foundations, and in skincare, and serums. Mm-hmm. it's hyaluronic. We have it injected into our faces. Hyaluronic acid is something our skin makes naturally. Fair enough if you just naturally, you know, have reactions to man-made ingredients. Some people do. There's people who are allergic to, like, the sun, though. You know, you can be allergic to something that's man-made, and you can be allergic to something that is natural. They're equally as...
They could be equally as irritated, irritating.
Yeah, as, you know, depending on yourself, as everyone's an individual.
But speaking of unstable, that's the problem as well when it comes to synthetic versus natural stuff. Synthetic ingredients have been made in a lab. They've been tested. They're predictable. They know the shelf life. They know the longevity. They know what's going to happen to that ingredient in the long run. Mm-hmm. When it comes to natural ingredients, you don't really know how they're going to react. This is the thing, like, where people say that they like putting lemon on their skin. The problem with a lemon, the benefits are supposedly vitamin C, citric acid.
Right.
But the problem is when you pick that lemon, you don't know how much vitamin C is in it. You don't know how much citric acid in it.
Right.
You don't know if it's, like, in season. Do you, you don't know when it's going to go off, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's so many factors. Whereas if someone was to make the same kind of benefits in a lab, I'd much rather trust that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, over, like, just shoving lemon on your face, but then also... It would have been made to go on your skin. That lemon growing on a tree isn't made to go on your skin.
Mm. It's like following a recipe with food and then me just making it up and being like, I guess there's 7 eggs in this bread. Do you make eggs with bread? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. But it's like that. It's like you say, if you imagine a physical lemon as, you know, two lemons and they're two products, then it's never going to be the exact equivalent of the same different kind of chemicals, you know? It is difficult. And I know some people like the idea of being natural and fresh and all this kind of stuff, but then how do you know, like you said, what levels you're getting of what products? It's very difficult.
You can't. But then this is the thing as well, is I think a lot of, we're going a bit of a tangent here, but I feel like a lot of people who do opt for natural ingredients are the same kind of people that are all about the environment. Not quiet at all.
Sorry. I was trying to drink quietly.
If you're going to drink, covering your mouth isn't going to make it sound any quieter.
Sure.
Because it's all in your throat, isn't it?
Well, I'd cover my throat too when I swallow. I put my hand over my throat away from the microphone. Maybe I'll turn the other way.
Leave the room and come back. I feel like a lot of people who like all the natural stuff is because, it's better for the environment and these, like, organic this and all that kind of stuff. It's not.
Right.
If you're constantly picking all these natural ingredients, plant extracts, like fucking lemon.
Quinoa.
Quinoa. Yeah. Kale in your skincare. Like, fair enough. Like, enjoy that, whatever. But this constant harvesting of it as well, obviously isn't better for the environment.
Of course.
The farming that has to go into it, all that. There's so many different factors that go into it rather than man-made synthetics in a lab, which is way better for the environment than all that kind of stuff. Exactly. I feel like that's another topic. I feel like there's a whole other tangent we can go on.
Why don't we, touching on all of that, why don't we talk about brands and that claim to be all natural, very... simple, for a better word, and clean. What are those claims meant to mean, and what do they actually mean?
So let's start by saying that clean, organic, natural, there is no law that states what that product can and can't contain in order for it to be called natural or organic.
Right.
And or clean. Clean represents like a product without things like fragrances, parabens, alcohol, mineral oil, sometimes even petroleum, for example. Like, the idea is clean is meant to be all very, very, very minimal. It's like the minimalist studio apartment of skincare. Do you know what I mean? They got, like, a sofa and a cat, and that's it.
But also your sofa is your kitchen.
Your cat is also your kitchen. So that's what it's supposed to mean. However, there is no legal definition to what any of these can mean. So that's one thing that is bothersome when people say it's a natural product.
Yeah.
What that usually means is that it contains natural ingredients.
Right.
So it doesn't usually mean that it is 100% natural.
Right. Yeah.
Then that's the problem. That's one of the issues is that these like clean and natural products, for example, paraben-free and fragrance-free, what that usually means is that people don't want fragrance in their skincare and they don't want preservatives.
Right.
But when it comes to natural skincare, when it's paraben-free and fragrance-free, that means artificial fragrance-free, so right. still contains fragrances of natural right. descent, ethnicity. and then it contains natural preservatives, so you do still have preservatives in there. So
everything has to have a preservative, right? You can't have a preservative-free product. Even when it is preservative-free, there is a natural preservative in there.
There'll be a natural preservative in there, yeah. There has to be, unless, like, oh, Sharon's knocked it up on Pinterest in her garage and she's sending it to her mum friends, you know?
She's like, use no it within 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep it in the fridge and use it within a day. So preservative-free is one that I personally really, really dislike.
Hmm.
And it comes from the idea that parabens are bad for you because a study found it in breast tissue.
Yes.
This was many, many years ago. And is, I think, one of the most common scare tactics, like fear-mongering things amongst... Can I just say, like, if you don't want to use products with any of this in, you don't have to.
Oh, there's absolutely,
nothing wrong with
absolutely.
You. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But I think it's important to also put emphasis on the actual science rather than the fear-mongering
exactly.
side of it.
And let's just say also as well, brands will ignore the science to try and sell something to you. They, if
of
a
course.
Brand will say, oh, we're all natural, don't use this because of this, we make this instead. It's a sales gimmick. And I think we've seen that every, especially now, that companies, no matter who they are, will continue to sell you something through fear, especially now in this pandemic, whatever. There are companies out there, for example, there's a company that I stumbled across the other day who are doing a course on being hygienic and using, which is great, but using our current situation as a push for that. So brands will continue to be insensitive towards anything to make money. And let's just remember that when we're thinking about trusting brands. Yeah.
So yeah, there was basically a study ages ago, I think it was like 2004. Right, now Robert's hiding in his t-shirt drinking. Like it's gonna sound any less
Can you
obvious.
Hear it? Can you hear me drinking?
I can hear every single gulp and swallow.
I'm just so dehydrated
it's
today.
It's fine, just drink. Maybe it's because it's coming through your AirPod.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true. Yeah.
Okay. Hang on, you're dehydrated. What are you drinking?
Orange squash.
Oh, okay. You're not, are you?
Yeah, no, I am.
Okay,
yeah,
you are.
No,
okay.
I am.
Oh, actual water, okay. So yeah, this study in 2004 found parabens in breast tissue of 20 different humans.
Yeah.
And obviously this led to like loads of scares
of
and outrages and even like banning parabens in some countries for certain types of products aimed at like younger people. But when other scientists look at these studies, they're actually not worried about the effects of parabens.
Yeah.
And this is the thing as well. When it comes to preservatives, parabens are the most studied preservative in the world ever. There's so much medical and clinical research behind it that it's actually more worrisome to have these alternative preservatives in because not a lot of people know a lot about them, if that makes sense. So it's that whole thing again. Like, would you rather trust science and believe that this preservatives have your back over this one? And it's a thing as well, like cherry picking data where like, here's something scary. Let's put that to the forefront and be like, this is what could potentially happen.
You can make a whole company out of a fear or something. If somebody was like, oh, now foundation causes breakouts, then I can make a whole brand that's like anti-breakout foundation. Do you know what I mean? Where there's that's not always the case. You can make anything out of anything, and that's what brands do.
Yeah, but this is the thing as well. It's like a lot of people. It's just like it's the I don't know. That's the thing. It makes sense that once something scary happens, you're like I didn't drink Red Bull for like a year because I read a story in the Daily Mail about a guy who had 3 Red Bulls in a day and died.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
they probably did, though, to be fair.
Yeah, he probably, like, had heart problems.
What was I going to say? So say I'm someone who is very like, okay, I currently use a brand who is like, we're clean, we're this, we're this. What is there any more benefit to you? We've probably already answered this, but is there any more benefit to me using these group of products versus a product, a brand that says, doesn't claim to be clean or vegan or, you know, well, vegan there is, sorry, no. But I mean clean or,
yeah.
Or paraben free or, you know, what's it called?
Fragrance free, all that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, obviously, there are like obviously legitimate reasons to using this stuff. Like a lot of people do have reactions to fragrance. A lot of people would buy clean beauty because it says fragrance free, but it will probably have natural fragrance in. So when they say fragrance free, it's either free from artificial fragrances or masking fragrances that cover the smell of like that often like crayon-y smell that you get from, you know what I mean? Like that from products that don't have masking fragrances in, but it still might have.
This is a thing as well. When products have fragrance in, it's because natural products, if they're really natural, do smell pretty bad. Unless it's like lavender or something like that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But when like you get a foundation that smells really awful, it's because it has no fragrance. And that's when it smells kind of chemically.
Yeah, fragrance is a bit of like an issue at the moment within like the skincare industry, because you have the science side of it saying that fragrances aren't that bad. You can actually remove these irritants from fragrances other than essential oils. Mm. And this is how they work. And, you know, that the fragrance is like a huge industry, like a huge, massive like industry when it comes to obviously money and the people working in it. And they're at the point now where they can remove these irritants from it. But then you have like the dermatology side of it. People are saying that their fragrances are irritants and you shouldn't use them and you can develop a reaction to them in the long run, all this kind of stuff. But it's funny because my personal opinion, I like to source or like listen to the people who are writing these peer-reviewed papers, the people who are science educators, the people that kind of understand when they're reading through these clinical trials, understand like the pros and cons of that trial, like where they maybe done something a little bit wrong or within their own personal experience what they've kind of like discovered, you know, people who can actually dissect, you know, these studies and related to what they've done as far as their studies and clinical trials go. So I do like listening to that a little bit more over you know, people like cosmetic formulators and all that kind of stuff. I love listening to what they have to say about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I hope the whole, I think this whole clean beauty thing kind of like, it kind of puts down all the hard work that these chemists are doing and that like all these, like the you know, these specialists do. I feel like nowadays people think that there are these like devil formulators and companies that are sitting in rooms making poisonous, irritating products to spread out to the world.
Exactly,
you know?
To in the long run ruin your skin.
Ruin your skin, that's their goal, you know. But it's not, and it's one of those things as well where like people are picking and choosing what part of science they want to believe in.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, we'll back it up with science. And when something is backed up with science, they're like, well, you know, but someone else says this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a little bit like, you know, you can't pick and choose when you believe
exactly
in science.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as far as like the benefits of clean beauty, if you have irritations to certain things, like a lot of like the things like fragrance, mineral oil, some people find mineral oil clogging.
Yeah.
I personally don't. No. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a huge fragrance some people find irritating. So I guess if you have very sensitive skin, then go for like the cleaner side of things. If you're very easily irritated, but it's not going to poison you.
No.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's not going to like make your skin peel off like over a week or anything like that. And again, it's that whole fear-mongering thing. So speaking of that kind of stuff, let's talk about non-comedogenic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is about pore clogging,
right?
And we've mentioned this before, that it's one of those terms that doesn't really mean anything, along with hypoallergenic, actually, as well. So non-comedogenic, I think, is one of my favourite ones, because it's like, for me, it's a perfect example of why animal testing is a load of bullshit.
Mm, mm.
Like, I don't understand animal testing. Like, why tests on animals when it's completely irrelevant to human skin.
Exactly. So, and we can literally test on human skin, man-made human skin, and actually real human skin at the moment. So, like, what are we doing?
I always say this, but if you go up to someone, right, and you're like, here's 100 quid, can I rub this moisturizer in your ear? They'd be like, sure, go for it. Yeah. You know, even if you say, like, oh, you might break out a bit. Non-comedogenic means that it's not going to block your pores, basically. But these studies were actually done. Hang on, let me find when they were done. So here we go. These studies were actually done in 1979. This is by a respected dermatologist called Albert Kligman. And he published like a protocol for the assessment of cosmetics ingredients. So he created this scale of 0 to 5, five being the worst, as far as how likely an ingredient would be to clog your pores, basically.
Yeah.
So, and as we mentioned before in the other podcast, that these tests were done on the pores of the inside of a rabbit's ear. So the thing is with the rabbit's ear is that the pores are a lot bigger. They're a lot bigger. They're not a true representation of human skin whatsoever at all, which just doesn't make sense to me.
Can I just answer something very quickly now you said that?
Yeah.
Somebody, we spoke about this in the pore episode that we did. Somebody asked, if a product claims to be non-comedogenic now, does it mean they've tested on animals? No, it doesn't. I'm not saying that for all brands, but if, it's more of a formula, isn't it, that's non-comedogenic, that has now been, like, made, if that makes sense. So you can make a product non-comedogenic without having to, you know, test on
animals. I think how it's done is, as we mentioned, there's this rating of 0 to 5 that was made years ago, so people can look back at that rating and be like, oh, this, like, mineral oil for example has a comedogenic rating of like 4 or 5, I don't know, but so they can say, like, if your product's free from these or if it's got this, and they can kind of give it like a non-comedogenic rating because all the ingredients are lower. So rabbit ears are more sensitive in general anyway, so again, it's not a fair representation. However, the human studies, I know we were saying they should just do on humans, they're also flawed, basically. So instead of like testing products and ingredients on a human face, where they do test is on the back, so where we're a lot more like differently porous, where our pores are bigger. So again, it's not like a real fair trial of an everyday situation, and they usually test on people who do have acneic skin, so people who break out easily, who do have enlarged pores, so people already kind of suffering from this stuff, to kind of see how safe it is for someone with that skin type already. So they're not testing on all skin types, so your skin might be fine, it might not. But then also, what this doesn't take into account is the formulation as a whole. So instead of saying, like, oh, shea butter, for example, could be comedogenic, I don't know if it is, oh, this product has shea butter in it, it's comedogenic, like, not safe. What's the word? It's comedogenic.
Yeah,
it's comedogenic. But what that doesn't take into account is how that ingredient is formulated with the rest of the product, how that product sits on the skin, all that kind of stuff. So whilst it might have ingredients in that are known for being comedogenic, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to clog you up or break you out. So the whole thing is a little bit everywhere. Yeah. But if you do break out very easily, it's probably an okay thing to go for. It's probably your safest bet.
Yeah, and you can, again, go back to our pores episode for more about this. But again, it's about cleaning. That's a case when it comes to cleaning your face and how you remove your makeup also. But we go in depth in that in the other one.
Yeah, if you do have normal skin, you shouldn't be scared of using products that aren't labeled non-comedogenic in case it's going to break you out. Right. Do you know what I mean? So you shouldn't be scared of products that aren't non-comedogenic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. God, I've got loads more.
Well, let's do it.
Let's talk about alcohol, because I know this is something that a lot of people struggle with and a lot of people really, really dislike. There's loads of different types of alcohol in skincare, right? So you have your fatty alcohols, and then you have like denatured alcohol, which is usually alcohol denant, you'll see it as, or plain alcohol, you'll see it, or ethyl alcohol, you'll see it on the ingredients list. Now, a lot of people see this as a drying ingredient, which potentially it can be. Like, for example, I always bring this up because I think it's one of the worst products ever made, is the Clean and Clear Blackhead Cleanser, which is pretty much like a toner kind of consistency. Yeah.
It's
stripping as all
vodka
hell.
With...
yeah. Vodka lemon with juice. Blue flavour and lemon juice. Yeah. So again, this date kind of goes back to studies that were done on skincare cells rather than actual human skin, and tested in such high quantities on these skincare cells that, again, it's non-reflective of how alcohol is used in our cosmetics nowadays. And it's that thing as well, people see alcohol right at the top of the ingredient list and like, oh shit, it's bad for me.
Yeah,
it's
going
to dry me out. Yeah, but there's a few things you have to think about. So alcohol, the fear behind it is that it's an drying ingredient, and cell death we'll talk about in a minute, but it's a drying ingredient. So why should you worry about it when it's in a moisturizer?
Yeah.
Going to dry you out. Yeah. But it's also in your skincare because it's used as a penetration enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
So it can help, like, usually that's why you see it in a lot of, like, gel moisturizers. Like, I look for it in gel moisturizers because I know in the summer when it's hot, we're sweaty, I put on this gel moisturizer, it's going to absorb nicely into the skin.
Yeah.
The product's not going to sit on my skin.
Right.
And it can also help certain actives go into your skin and increase their effectiveness.
Mm-hmm. Also, so, denatured alcohol is exactly that. It's alcohol that has, am I right in thinking that kind of what we think of alcohol isn't present anymore in denatured alcohol? Like that harsh...
No, it's the opposite. So if we drink it, we would die.
Yeah. So it's pure.
It's pure. Yeah. Yeah, thing.
So what makes that different, denatured, what makes that different from alcohol, regular alcohol?
So alcohol we drink is like distilled, isn't it? Like distilled vodka, and yeah, so it's not like pure, like cooking vodka, for example, like rice vodka. I don't know if that's a thing. But did I tell you about the time we went to China on a school trip and we all drank cooking vodka and we all nearly died?
What?
Not nearly, we didn't all nearly die, but we were so drunk. We went to like this corner shop in China. We were in Shanghai with university.
Yeah.
And we all bought alcohol. And what we thought was vodka was like cooking rice vodka or something. Oh. It was such a high, you weren't meant to drink it. And we were drinking it. Because obviously when you cook with it, it evaporates. Nice. Yeah. And everyone was laughing at us rather than warning us we could die. So here's the... So back to denatured alcohol. The majority of that denatured alcohol that you put on your skin is going to evaporate off your skin anyway as well.
Right. This is why it's used in things like setting spray. So setting sprays have denatured alcohol also because it helps thin the formula when it comes out of the actual spray. But also when it goes on the skin, that's why like a refreshing mist is different from a setting spray, because in a setting spray, it will evaporate. Whereas in a refreshing mist, it's more than likely not to have denatured alcohol. Whereas like the heavy like setting sprays need denatured alcohol.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If they come out of this.
Yeah.
I hope everyone understands what that sound means.
I think everybody knows what that sound means. Let's talk about the skin barrier as well, because a lot of people think that denatured alcohol can destroy your skin barrier.
Right.
But yeah, again, just like going from like studies and that, it just doesn't seem to be a big issue. So it's something that like, again, is kind of like the whole clean beauty side of things. But this goes with everything. If you think your skin is reacting to something, then it's absolutely fine to not use it. We're not sitting here saying, like, use alcohol, and you're an idiot for not using it.
Oh, of course.
Like,
don't you be scared of alcohol?
Yeah. Because for everybody that says, like, there's like, no, like, these products are fine for you, you can still have a reaction to it. Like, my skin doesn't like hyaluronic acid. It doesn't mean it's the worst product in the world. It's a very good ingredient.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I, as someone with oily skin, I do like denatured alcohol. alcohol denant, I think we see it more of in Europe on the ingredient list. If you do have very, very dry skin, you might want to avoid it. It probably won't be the end of the world if it's in a moisturizer, but if it's in your toner, more like liquidy products, I always find even serums that are alcohol heavy can be a little bit drying. But, you know.
Well, they're very quickly, serums are very quickly like absorbed anyway, aren't they? So
the majority,
as well, you'd
be like. Yep. So, I'm trying to think what else. God, there's so many things. Dermatologist tested.
Yes.
And also, let's talk about clinically tested.
So here's how when I think of these things, well, used to think of these things, when it'd be like dermatology tested or dermatologist tested, I think, right, some dermatologist or someone has tried all these, used these, really looked into it and be like, yes.
Yeah.
I am approving of these.
Right.
And same with, when I think of clinically tested, I think they, like a study, like they've kept 5 women in this metal room.
In a metal box,
for 5 days, and they've all tried this mascara, and 2 of them believe, it would agree, that it's made their lashes longer, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So no, none of this means anything. So let's talk about dermatologist tested. It does mean that a dermatologist had tested it. There isn't like a board of testing dermatologists or anything. I tried to find if it was a specific group of like guinea pig dermatologists. There's no such thing. You can say a dermatologist tested it, but you don't have to say whether they liked it.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing, like a dermatologist could test it and be like, oh, well, it's not like I wouldn't recommend it, but I wouldn't not recommend it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it doesn't mean.
Great, it's been tested.
Great, it's been tested, yeah. Equally, dermatologist approved usually means or can mean that a dermatologist that works for the company or was part of formulating this product, usually like a spokesperson, approves of the product.
Of course.
So it holds no basis. Like there isn't, again, any official meaning of that. Yeah. And this is the thing as well as clinically proven. Like you said, clinically proven makes you think that there's people in a lab either like...
Yeah, and they've been testing it for ages and they've been putting different coloured liquids into different coloured things.
Yeah, but you were kind of right when you're saying what clinically proven usually means in the majority of the time is that the product was given to a group of consumers and it was organized by the brand behind that product. So it doesn't mean that the product underwent any kind of clinical trial.
Right.
Despite saying clinically tested, and for it wasn't approved by the FDA. That's what it means. You think that clinically proven means like the FDA has something behind it, Food and Drug Administration, and has approved this as yes, clinically, scientifically, this is what that product does. That's not what it means. But the problem with these kind of clinically proven studies as well, that you can look at online, and for example, I'm trying to think of an example here. Okay, so there's a serum I love called, here it is, the La Roche-Posay Rosaliac AR Intense Serum, I really like it. It's great at getting rid of redness. I looked into this product and tried to find studies behind their key ingredient, their one thing that they claim really helps get rid of rosacea. What I found out was that first of all, they had done a clinical study with their own subjects. They've also trademarked this ingredient, and all the clinical studies and papers were sponsored by La Roche-Posay. So it was an internal thing. It was something that they did. These aren't peer-reviewed papers. They don't go through a process of other, I don't know, scientists, chemists, whatever, looking at these papers and nitpicking at them or saying, well, that doesn't make sense, or that makes perfect sense, or this wouldn't work. All that means is that the brand has sponsored this study to kind of prove a point for them. So clinically proven, again, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't make their product any more superior than a product that doesn't say clinically proven or dermatologist tested. Are there, I could go more more on about skincare as far as like pH balance goes, medical grade, mineral oil free, for example. But are there anything specific to makeup that really, when you see it, makes you think, what the fuck does that mean?
I mean, there's a few things that I'm kind of, it's different because skincare in makeup sometimes does have a benefit, not as much as skincare would in terms of it being skincare, if that makes sense. So say we have a concealer And it's like, it's infused with this serum. It's great because it helps the way it sits on the skin. So it's not so much that it's also going to like anti-age you or whatever, you know, it claims to do. But it helps the product, you know, grip to the skin more. It helps things like less lines because it has more moisture to it, less creasing and things like that. So skincare is great in makeup. And I always think that if somebody has the, trouble with the texture of makeup or the texture of their skin, mix in the serum with it because it right. changes the texture. I don't think it's like 100% beneficial. But, yeah. You know, the only claim that I find a little bit hit and miss is with setting sprays or with products that claim to set your foundation. Right. So these work differently on everyone because people have oily skin, they have dry skin, they have oily combination, they have dry dehydrated or, you know, all these different things. So using a setting spray, for example, Urban Decay claim that one of their all-nighter setting spray freezes the makeup on the face.
Right.
And I always describe the makeup as and skin as like layers. So if we imagine our skin or our face, we'll say as one layer, we imagine our foundation as a second layer and then a setting spray as the third, even though it kind of gets into the foundation and becomes like this joint layer. What actually disrupts our makeup comes from within the skin. So it's sweat, oil, things like that. Oil breaks down makeup. We use it to take off makeup. So even if a product is claiming to freeze your foundation, if you are an oilier person or you have oilier areas of your skin, oil is still going to come out your skin.
Right. Setting spray isn't going to stop what's happening under.
Yeah. Setting spray doesn't freeze the functions of your skin. It doesn't freeze what your skin does. And some oily people swear by setting spray. And I do if I use it before makeup. So skin, barrier, then makeup, if that makes sense. Because if it's claiming to freeze, I actually don't use it all night, a setting spray, because I think it smells funny. But I'll use like a setting spray with denatured alcohol in, for example.
Yeah.
Or something that has a powder in it. As a barrier, because for me, what breaks down my makeup, the reason why I would need a setting spray in the first place is because I have oily skin that ruins my makeup. So when a product claims to set or freeze or stick, it might do for some people. Again, is it clinically tested? Did 5 or 7 people say it worked for them? You know, is everyone's skin type is different.
Yeah, I always feel like those clinical trials, like for the brand, like 7 people said their eyelashes did look longer. I feel like there's like a placebo.
Yeah, and is it 7 of their employees?
Yeah.
And if it did really work, say for example, these mascara adverts, you know, all these people said it looks good. Why are we still using lash inserts? If it works that well, why are we still doing that, you know?
On the adverts, yeah, like, what's the point?
Mm. And here's the thing. Products that claim to do something, I never take seriously anyway, especially in makeup, because if there was a product that really did something really, really well, then that would be the holy grail product and we would never need another one. It would be the be-all and end-all of that problem. Do you know what I mean? If we had
it's like anti-aging moisturizers. Yes.
If there was one that really worked, that would be it. That would be the thing that you use, you know, everyone would talk about. It would really work and then we would never need anything again. And it would shut down businesses. Well, shut down companies, you know?
Yeah. This is like what annoys me about like anti-aging creams, for example. Mm. It's like, helps target signs of aging. So discoloration, fine lines, wrinkles, plumpness. So what, you've got niacinamide, hyaluronic acid, maybe retinol in it, vitamin C. Like these, that's what I hate about anti-aging products in particular is, first of all, anti-aging, but also like that it's that whole, this product could potentially maybe might do this. Do you know what I mean? It's like that whole, and they bump up the price of
it. It's not difficult to fade a fine line really quickly, instantly. Mm. And there are products that do work instantly because that's it. They just work instantly. And then you get this result. Makeup is different because you get a visual result. It's a product that's made to give you an instant visual result. Coverage, a finish, shimmer, shine, you know, something like that. Whereas with skincare, you can plump up a lip. A lip gloss or a lip balm can plump up a lip for 5 minutes, you know,
a couple minutes,
exactly. You can smooth a fine line just by hydrating that area, you know, and what, again, for what, 5 hours, you know, like it's,
I mean, it depends if you keep doing
exactly. So that was another thing I saw a lot of, was people saying something that gives you instant results. And you know what? It probably does give you instant results, but how long-term are those instant results? They are just instant.
I mean, that's... Yeah. Well, this is the thing with hyaluronic acid is, I think it's, for example... Well, hyaluronic acid and collagen. So hyaluronic acid is just a temporary plumper. It doesn't work in the long run. It works as long as you're using
it. Exactly. And it seems like collagen, elastin, you can't get down to that layer through the surface of the skin.
No, you can't apply it topically and it's going to work.
You physically can't add more collagen or elastin through the surface.
But collagen is going to temporarily plump your skin from the outside.
Like, I'm right thinking you can get down there with a needle, right?
Yeah.
And you can consume or something. Mm. We might be wrong, but correct us if we're wrong.
Yeah, but it doesn't go to your skin, it goes to like your joints
before,
basically.
So it's like that it can do things, but it's temporarily. Temporarily.
Yeah.
So I think that's a thing as well.
Retinol. Just use retinol. It's the only proven thing.
But here's the thing, again with makeup, with I'm trying to look for something that claims to do something, but it's very easy with makeup to say something does something.
Well, because I have the Sun by Me 30-Day Miracle Toner. In 30 days, it's going to reduce pigmentation, spots, it's going to make your skin... And it's like, well, yeah, it's not a miracle. You're using an AHA, BHA, PHA every day
and
for 30 days
it's
going to change your skin.
It's a long time. That's a whole month. Exactly.
It's a normal
time. It's a normal amount of time.
To expect to see a difference. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's the thing as well. And also, like, a lip mask could be like, or a lipstick that says that, you know, that skincare benefits, it's going to do this to your skin within 30 days. It's like, yeah, it probably is, because if you're using it consistently for 30 days, then it's just an ongoing effect that you're using. So
yeah
it's hard. I don't know what to believe anymore.
Well this is the thing. I think what you can do is look at a product, and when it says like for example 30-day miracle toner, this is what it is definitely going to do within 30 days, look at that. Be like, okay, this is what the product claims. It's not a miracle. It will do that eventually, but don't expect it to work like that.
Exactly.
Like the product claims, if that makes sense. So don't believe the product's own hype. Like, look at it. It's going to do that job, but not in the crazy magical way that you think it's going to, if that makes sense. So, you know, anti-aging products will target signs of aging over an extended period of time with continuous use. Do you have to spend like £100 on like 50 quid? No, but you know, like, just skincare is going to work for you when you find the right product, but just don't expect like these magical crazy changes.
Yeah, it's consistency, and it's it isn't a you know, you use it for a month and everything's fine. It's to use it for the rest of your life, and and you're going to see results, especially if you want to see like results that are like, you know, anti-aging or fine lines. I saw a picture today on Twitter of this lady, and it was her 50th birthday, and I was looking at the picture thinking, oh, it's so funny because this 12-year-old girl was standing in front of this balloon that says she's 50, and everyone was like, why is this girl doing that? But the actual joke was, this woman is 50 years old. I need to send you the picture.
No.
I'll send it to you right now.
Because we'll put it on Instagram.
Yeah, it is crazy. She looks, I don't know why I just brought that up, sorry.
But yeah, that's the thing. I think like it's fine to kind of round up a little bit. It's fine to want to look for safer, in quotations, ingredients, kinder ingredients in your skincare. But I also think trust the science, trust the formulators behind your products, and also know exactly what those claims mean.
So much more research needs to be done on your behalf than just what the brand is telling you, the brand's website, what a YouTuber is telling you. Let me just tell you something. I got a script from a brand once, and there was some things, I didn't do it, there were some things that were like, it was like, no GMOs, no parabens, no toxins, no chemicals, all this kind of stuff. So when you're seeing people on YouTube or whatever, they're more than likely in their review, especially if it's sponsored, have been given a script.
Oh yeah, they have to hit a certain amount of point.
If they're not disclosing it's a sponsor, even worse, you know? So do your research as an individual and then go deeper than that. If you want to be not harmful to your environment, how is this product being made? Where is it being made? How is it getting to you? You know,
this is a thing as well. Like, a lot of people, like there was a product came out that I absolutely love, and a lot of people were complaining because it was in a plastic tub rather than a glass jar. But and people were saying it's unenvironmentally friendly, but what people didn't take into consideration was the weight of that glass, how it ships, like as far as like carbon footprints, like the biggest picture. And it's not actually as easy to recycle glass as people think.
Yeah.
Like the certain type of plastic is made out of is more widely recycled than glass. Like there's all these little things as well. And things like that also depend on the area that you're in.
Yeah.
Our local like recycling center doesn't take a certain plastic. Do you know what I mean? Like it's things you have to consider like the wider picture and don't just believe what's the front page or Google saying or what the brand is saying or what you believe to be solid truth. And the one thing you'll notice as well is when you're listening and learning like about the science behind certain things, scientists will come and say pretty much about everything there is no clear answer. It's not black and white.
Exactly.
And that's the thing is like there's when people say, well, this ingredient's been shown to do this or this product's been shown to do this, if you actually look or get like a scientist to explain what that study means, what that conclusion means, the conclusion more often than not is that
inconclusive.
And that's the thing is it's like whilst I don't know, whilst there is like a wealth of information out there, it gets so complicated, so complicated. So like you said, don't believe everything you see on YouTube, don't take everything you hear as fact, like it's especially when brands are making claims and trying to like push an image or push their claims, like just dig a little bit deeper. And
and like we said, everyone will try and sell something to you. There are brands that make profits off your fear and off your issues. I'm doing air quotes for people don't know, so you know, I don't know what I was about to say,
but
there could be a brand out there that's like, you know, you're a busy mum and you have, you know, no time to do something. Like they could literally make a busy mum face wash, you know, and then it'd be like, oh god, I need this busy mum face wash. Do you know what I mean? Like
this, that busy busy mum skin,
because scientifically busy mum skin is more vulnerable to the earth, or you know, things like that, you know. Like brands will target a group of people that you know, have a fear in something or feel like they need something or, you know, that's what they do. That's 100%.
Oh my God. We didn't talk about sunscreen. Really quick, a recent study that came out said that some sunscreen ingredient was found in blood. So then everyone was like, that's it. Sunscreen's dangerous and it's going to give you cancer. No, skin cancer gives you cancer from not wearing sunscreen.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like we could go into that another day. But yeah, that's another thing. Like people hear these reports and then the media pick out all these like little scary things.
Mm-hmm.
The FDA actually had to release a statement saying, please wear sunscreen. Please wear sunscreen. Despite this report, please wear sunscreen.
Yeah.
So it's these little things as well that like, people like to instantly pick up on something they heard and then, you know, fear mongering is easy to kind of like spread.
Right.
Exactly. You know, these fears. But
100%.
Yeah.
So, well, that's life, as they
that's
say.
That's life. Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Join in a conversation over on the Instagram at the double.
At the Double Cleanse podcast. Podcast.
That's it. That's what we're called.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts and views. And then keep an eye out on our stories for our question for next week.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
If you ever think of anything you want to be included in the podcast, do let us know as well. We're open.
Yes, we
are. We're open, people.
We're open. All right, then. Let's just go.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right.
Let's just go. Let's just,
let's just leave.
Let's get out of here. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. We do appreciate you.
Yes, very much so.
And appreciate
I've been James
yourself.
Welsh.
Oh, yeah. I've been Robert Welsh, scientist, PhD, doctor.
Yeah. Bread believer.
Bread believer.
Yeah. And I've been James Welsh. Absolute. Scientist.
I was 100% clinical.
Yeah, I own over 100 products, so I know what I'm talking about.
And one of his coats might be white. All right,
yes,
guys.
I own a white jacket, so we'll see you later.
Thank you, guys. Goodbye.
Bye.